Now, I'm sure you're all familiar with the concept of a dichotomy, of taking two opposite things and contrasting them, putting them almost in comparison against each other. You know, examples of dichotomies are white and black, good and bad, yes and no. They're opposites. They're polar opposites, and we compare the two. Well, St. Paul sets up a dichotomy for us in our second reading. He says, we speak a wisdom, not a wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. Rather, we speak God's wisdom. The dichotomy, the contrast that St. Paul sets up is between the wisdom of the age and the wisdom of God. That the two are contrasted. They're opposite of each other. Now, what does he mean by the wisdom of the age versus the wisdom of God? Well, the wisdom of the age, what he means by that, is this wisdom that is transitional, it's passing, it's constantly changing. In fact, it's changing much more quickly now with the advent of the internet that allows this wisdom to be spread so much more widely and so much more quickly. This is the wisdom of popular opinion, political correctness, surveys and opinion polls. This is the wisdom that our elected officials, our senators, our representatives, our president rule off of. That whatever is the current popular opinion, whatever 50% plus one want, they're going to support. That's the wisdom of the age. Now, the wisdom of the God, in contrast, St. Paul says, is mysterious, hidden, which God predetermined before the ages for our glory. This wisdom of God is permanent. It's enduring. It lasts forever. It never changes. What was true 2,000 years ago when our Lord walked on earth is true now. And what is true now will be true 2,000 years from now, assuming our Lord doesn't return before then. This wisdom of God is always true because it never changes. Well, with this dichotomy that St. Paul has presented to us comes a choice. And the choice is best summed up from the first reading. God has set before you fire and water, to whichever you choose, stretch forth your hand. Before man are life and death, good and evil. Whichever he chooses shall be given him. The question for us is, do we choose the wisdom of the age or the wisdom of God? Do we choose the life that comes from the wisdom of God or the death that comes from the wisdom of the age? Now, this wisdom of the age is all around us. We see it everywhere. We turn on the TV, you can't miss it. Pretty much every channel, except maybe the religious ones, are promoting this wisdom of the age, regardless if it's a talk show, if it's reality TV, if it's sports, if it's, you know, comedy, whatever it might be. Pretty much everything you see on TV is promoting this wisdom of the age. We are bombarded by it through our media. It saturates our lives, and it saturates the lives of those around us. It's like it's in the air. It just soaks into us because it's so prevalent. This is the wisdom of our cultural and political elite, those who are held up as stars, as important people to follow. This is their wisdom. The problem with the wisdom of the age is it gets things wrong. It calls things that are sins, that are contrary to what is good for us, contrary to what God is calling us to do. It calls those things good. It says, oh, they're good. Yeah, you should do those. And it calls things that are good for us, things that lead us closer to God, it calls them sins. If you want an example of this, take a look at how children are viewed in our culture today. Now, if a couple wants to have a child, whether in wedlock or out of wedlock, good for them. You know, if they want to have that child, they should have that child, and there should be nothing to stop them from having that child. We should throw all of science into helping that couple have a child. No thought of morality about whether or not it's good for that couple to have a child, whether or not the way that they're going to have that child is moral. Oh, no, they want a child, they're going to have it. But if you don't want a child, if that child would affect your lifestyle, you know, we can't sell the third car and the vacation home and maybe not take that trip to France this year because we have a child, then it's bad to have that child. That's what our culture says. Children are seen as something, as a possession to either have or don't. And if you don't want one and you have one, it is a burden. Children are a burden in our culture today for many people. Because we have lost the importance of children in our world today, we have lost what marriage is about. The church teaches us that marriage has two aspects. There are two purposes of marriage. The first is the unity of the spouse, the husband and wife coming together to be unified. And this isn't just the physical unity, this is also spiritual and emotional unity. That's a very, very important part of the sacrament. But there's a second aspect, the procreative, the producing and raising of children. One of the primary reasons why we have the sacrament of marriage is because children need a family of a husband and a wife. They need a father and a mother. And we have lost that in our culture today. This is why there is the push to redefine marriage 100 different ways. Because we don't recognize that one of the two primary purposes of marriage involves children. We have lost that in our culture today. This is the wisdom of the age, the deadly wisdom of the age. Now, in contrast, we have the wisdom of God, which St. Paul tells us is mysterious and hidden. The wisdom of the age is all around us. You can't miss it. You have to go live in a cave somewhere to miss the wisdom of the age. The wisdom of God doesn't slap us upside the face. You have to go and seek it. How do we find the wisdom of the age? We find the wisdom of the age through the work of the Holy Spirit in the world, because it has been revealed to us through the Holy Spirit. We need to ask for the wisdom of God to come upon us. We need to ask for this wisdom of God to enter into us, that the Holy Spirit will come down upon us and bring to us this wisdom of God. This wisdom of God is far greater than any earthly wisdom. Far greater than any earthly wisdom. And it's more powerful, more moving than any emotion, earthly emotion, that we can experience. It is far greater than anything the earth can give us. Now, there's a challenge when we accept the wisdom of God. And it's a great challenge. This wisdom of God holds us to a higher standard. If we accept the wisdom of God, we are being called to live to a higher standard. Look at our Lord in the gospel today. He takes the minimalist of the law, the minimalist regulations, and he tells his disciples, no, you have to go deeper. You have to live your lives morally upright, deeper than just living the minimums. He says, I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of God. The scribes and the Pharisees lived the law. They were experts in the law. Their whole life surrounded the law. And our Lord is saying, you have to go past them, because they would live the minimum of the law. You have to go deeper. You have to do more. You have to be better. That is what the wisdom of the law calls us to. You know, as an example, you know, our Lord says, you shall not kill, and whoever does will be condemned. In many examinations of conscience, you know, many of these devices we use to examine whether or not we are living according to how we are called to as disciples, it takes that "you shall not kill" and goes deeper, much deeper. There are examinations that say gossip is against this commandment. That if we gossip, we are killing a person. We are killing a person's reputation. We are killing a person in the eyes of others. It is a violation of this commandment. That is what it means to go deeper. To not be sufficient, say, "well, you know, I don't have to go to confession because I haven't killed someone this week." No, we probably haven't. We've got to go more. We've got to recognize we are called to greater life than just the minimums. But it's worth it. It's worth it to seek the wisdom of God. It is so worth it. Because the wisdom of God is life-giving. It gives life. St. John Paul II would regularly use a phrase for the wisdom of the age. He would call it the culture of death. The wisdom of the age is the culture of death. It leads to death, spiritually and in many cases, physically. The wisdom of God is life-giving. It is the culture of life. It leads to a culture of life here on earth and leads to eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. It is greater than the wisdom of the age because it brings us eternal life. So we have this choice placed before us, the wisdom of the age or the wisdom of God. May we truly seek that life-giving wisdom of God. Because as the first reading says, if you trust in God, you too shall live.